by Parshas Bahar. Parshas Bahar discusses the mitzvah of Shemitah. In the first part of the parasha, says the pasuk Perik Chafei Pasuk Ches, "V'sefarti l'cha sheva shabbos v'sashanim, sheva shanim, sheva pamim." We should count seven cycle of 7 years. "V'hayu l'cha yimei sheva shabbos v'sashanim teishav arba m'shana." 7 times 7 is 49 years, and the 50th year is Yovel. "V'sefarti l'cha," you should count for you. The counting should be l'cha, for you. Says the Dumno Magid, why is the Torah stressing count for you, 7 years, 7 times, 7 times 7 is 49. Says the Dumno Magid, the Torah is teaching you that when we go through life, a person has to count his days, count his years. A person has to make a din b'cheshbin and know where he's holding. Sometimes a person thinks to himself, I have many days left, a lot of time left. The Torah says, no, count years. Sheva shanim, sheva pamim. The person counts years, he realizes that time is running short. A person has to think ahead with din b'cheshbin. He says over a marshal, there was once two partners. One partner put up the capital, put up the money for the business. He was the usher. The other partner was the brains behind the business. And of course, they didn't have an equal portions in the business. The usher owned 9/10 of the business, and the chacham, the one who had the brains and ran the business, he had a 1% part of the business. And the partnership went on for years. They trusted each other. They never had any problems at all. One day, the chacham, the one with the brains behind the whole partnership, comes to the usher and he says, we have to make a cheshbon right away. I want to make a cheshbon with you right now, and I have to know exactly what my portion of the business is and what your portion of the business is. And the usher gets nervous. If you want to make a cheshbon, does that mean you want to pull out? You want to break up? And that's why making a cheshbon all these years, we never made such a cheshbon before. It was understood. You have your part and I have my part. The chacham says to him, I have to have the cheshbon. Let's sit down and make a cheshbon. And they sit down and they go through all the items and all the profits and all the bank accounts, and they draw up a cheshbon exactly how much belongs to the usher and how much belongs to the chacham. And after they make the cheshbon, the usher says, tell me, why do you need the cheshbon for? How come today of all days you had to make an accounting? And the chacham says, I'll tell you the truth. I didn't make the cheshbon to find out how much I have. I made the cheshbon to find out how little I have. Because when I come home every night, everybody in the house starts nudging me. Buy this, buy that. Your partner's with the usher. You're just as wealthy as he is if you're his partner. Look what he has. Look what his house looks like. Look what his family has. Look at their clothing. Look how they eat. Look how they live. If your partner's with the rich man, we want the same. We should be able to eat the same way, live the same way. That's why I wanted the cheshbon. I want everything down in black and white on paper, exactly what portion is yours, what portion is mine. So this way I can go home and show everybody how much I'm missing, that our cheshbonis, our accounts are not equal, and I have, it's true, I'm a partner with you, but my accounting, my cheshbon, is missing a lot, and therefore my standard of living can't be the same as yours. Says the Dumno Magid, a person has to make a cheshbon where he's holding in life. The purpose of the cheshbon is not how much he accomplished already, how much he did. The purpose of the cheshbon is how much more I have to do. What am I missing? What am I lacking? Everybody has those areas in ruchnius they'd like to improve in. Everyone knows, whether it's learning, chesed, stalkum, mitzvahs, everybody has their areas they'd like to improve in. A person has to make a cheshbon, time's running short. Sefarta l'cha, where am I holding? What am I missing? The pasuk in Tehillim says, David HaMelech, Hayidieni Hashem kitzi yomai, umidas yomai mahi. Hashem, let me know my end and the measurement of my days. Says the Dumno Magid, David HaMelech said, umidas yomai mahi. He didn't say, umidas yomai mashi yeshli. Let me know what I already accomplished, but mahi, what's missing? Masha engli, what I don't have yet. A person who makes a cheshbon, he has to look ahead and think, time's running short, what more do I have left to accomplish in life? Pasuk says in Perik Chafei, Pasuk Yotes, Pasuk Chaf, right by Shlishi, V'nosna ha'aretz piryo, Hashem uses avtocha, that the land will produce its fruits, v'achaltem l'soiva, and you'll eat to be satisfied, v'shaftem l'vetach aleho. V'chisaymru, if you're going to ask, manoicha b'shona ha'shviyas, what are we going to eat in the year of Shemitah? Hein lo'y nizra, we didn't plant, v'lo'y ne'esayf es tfuaseinu, we didn't gather our tfuah. The Sfarnoi says, very interesting in this pasuk. Va'achaltem l'soiva, you'll eat to be satisfied. Says the Sefarnoi, peri rabi mozon. The fruits will nourish a lot. A person will eat a little bit, and it'll be a bracha, like Rashi brings down, and he'll feel satisfied, full from the little bit that he eats. And there's on the Sefarnoi, kimin oimer b'mon. Just like the oimer by the mon. What happened by the mon? An oimer fell for everybody. Every person received one oimer. Echad amarbe, ve'echad amamit. Everybody had one oimer. There were people that were strong, people that were weak, people that were small, people that were big. One oimer sufficed. Everybody got the same measurement. A stronger person, a weaker person, both had the same oimer. A gadol and a katan, both had the same oimer. How could it be? At certain times in life, people need more, people need less. How was it that the same measurement satisfied and filled up everybody? That was the nace of the mon. Just like by the mon, one oimer, the same measurement was enough for everybody and filled up saye gadol, saye katan, saye gibor, saye cholosh. One measurement was enough for everybody. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give a bracha in the fruits during the sixth year, and it'll be enough to fill us up and satisfy us. The Sfas Emes says, V'chisoimru, when a person's gonna ask, Ma noicha b'shona shviyas. A person's gonna ask, how could I survive? How could I live? I'm not gonna work the land in the seventh year. A whole year, the land's gonna lie empty. Where's my parnasa going to come from? Says the Sfas Emes, the Torah is being meramed is that the answer is in the question. The chisaimru ma neichal. What's the Rosh Tevis of ma neichal? Ma starts with a mem, neichal starts with a nun, mon. The person asks, ma neichal, what am I going to eat? Snap! Look back at the midbar. How did we survive 40 years in the midbar? Did we plant? Did we plow? Was there a harvest every year? The chisaimru ma neichal. A person's gonna ask, what am I going to eat? There's no plowing, no planting. The answer is right there, ma neichal, mem nun, the mon. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us in the Midbar, and He sent us the mon for 40 years, and we had Parnassah for 40 years in the Midbar, a person, Ma Neichal, Hashem took care of us then in the Midbar. Hashem will take care of us in the year of Shemitah, the sixth year, the seventh year, the eighth year, Ma Neichal, the answer lies in the mon. The Sefer HaChinuch, the mitzvah Pei Dalid, brings down the mitzvah of Shemitah. He discusses various reasons for the mitzvah of Shemitah. Among the reasons the Chinuch brings down for Shemitah is to show a person that all these years the land produced fruits every year. A person thinks to himself, Kaichi v'aitzim yodi, it's all my hard work. I planted, I plowed, I planted, I harvest, I took care of the crop. So, Zot HaTorah, once every 7 years, don't work the land at all. To show you that the fruit of all the other 6 years, what grew in the other 6 years, wasn't because of your work, wasn't because of your kayach, wasn't because of what you did. It all comes from Hashem, the master of the world. And the master of the world says to rest on the seventh year. To show you, just like on the seventh year, Hashem told us to rest, and the fruits, the parnasa, doesn't come from what we did, the other 6 years also, it doesn't come because of what we did, it all comes from Hashem. It's on the chinuch. Other reasons for Shemitah. Vatronis, to be generous, to be patient, Michael, imagine what it looks like. You have a field, and Shemitah, the field is Hefker. Everybody could walk in. Everybody could walk into your field. Imagine, I can't work the field, I can't use my field, anything that grows is Hefker, the whole world is allowed to walk in. You know what kaychus that takes? To sit there and be quiet, and not put a lock, and stand there with a shotgun to chase everybody away. Vatronis teaches a person how to be patient, be Michael, and allow people to share with people. The chinuch is on, and of course it shows the midah b'tachon. And a person has to trust in Hashem. A person is willing to let go of his property, let go of his work for 1 year, shows a tremendous b'tachon. Rav Aaron Kotler, in the Mishnah Rav Aaron, says a beautiful insight into human nature. The Torah makes a tremendous deal of Shemitah. Posik after posik, a good portion of the parasha Shemitah. And it ends off with a bracha, v'chisaymru ma'noicha v'ashon ha'shviyis, hangoy nizra, we didn't plant, we didn't gather our tefillah. V'tzivisi es berchasi lachem. I'll command a bracha, I'll send down a bracha, bashan ashishis, tefillah for 3 years. The Torah promises a tremendous bracha. Says Aaron Zatzal, what's the big deal? The Torah makes it out Shemitah and a tremendous bracha at the end. And Aaron explains human nature. A person sees his field, 6 years he worked the field. 6 years he sweated in that field. 6 years, that's where his panosah came from. The Torah says, this year, don't work the field. You know what happens? A person walks by the field the next day, the Yetzirah comes and says, here it is, right in front of you. How could you leave it empty? Look at the field. This is your panosah. For the last 6 years, you spent day in and day out working this field. Now it's sitting here empty. Are you going to let this go by? In front of your eyes, a person is seeing his job evaporate. His parnasa goes away right in front of his eyes. How could a person hold himself back? It's one thing to learn about a mitzvah. It's one thing to hear about it. It's one thing to speak about it. But to practice it, when he sees it in front of him, he sees his parnasa evaporating, disappearing in front of him, and a person holds himself back, says, Rabbi, that takes tremendous kindness. That's tremendous kaiches for a person to hold himself back when he sees his parnasa disappearing right in front of him. This is his field! And the Torah says not to work. It's right here! It's right here in front of you. Hold yourself back. I'll give you a bracha. And even with all the brachas, a person still needs a certain amount of kayach and gevura to overcome the yetzahara. When a person sees it in front of him and he has to hold himself back, that takes tremendous, tremendous kaiches. Now, I think the Baditshev said over that in the Sefer Reishis Chachma, there's a whole Masechta Gehenim. So a whole section speaks about Gehenim. So the Baditshevet said over, you know, if all the Taivus of the world would be buried in the Reishis Chachma, and we would see Gehenim with our own eyes, the people would do tshuva. But Hashem, what do you want? Taivus in front of everybody's eyes, and Gehenim is buried in the Sefer Reishis Chachma. What a person sees with his eyes is a tremendous Nisayim. A person sees, a person desires, a person wants. His field is right here. What a taiva he has. This is his parnasa. And yet he has to overcome it. That's a tremendous nisoyin of Shemitah. It says later on, Perik Chafei, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Ki geirim v'sayshovim atam imodi. You are, Hashem says, you're geirim v'sayshovim imodi. Says the Dubno Magid, sorry, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, V'ha'aretz loisi machalitz misus. Don't sell the land permanently. We know when one sells land, when Yovel comes, the land is returned. Ki li haaretz, the land belongs to me. Why? Ki geirim v'sayshovim atam imadi. You are geirim v'sayshovim with me. The Magid says over a short but powerful word. Geirim v'sayshovim. What's a ger and what's a toshav? A ger is a stranger. A toshav is a settler, one who settles. Geirim and toshavim are two opposites. What does the pasuk mean? You're geirim and toshavim with me. If we're geirim, we're strangers, we're not tashavim. We're not settlers, we're not permanently settled. If we're tashavim, permanent settlers, we're not geirim. So to the Magid, Hashem is telling us that the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem works with geirim v'tashavim. That's how the relationship works. If we act like geirim, if we in this world act like we're strangers in this world, that the ikar is not the olam hazeh, the ikar is not this world, we realize we're here, for the Ruchnius, we're here for Torah, for Mitzvahs, for Gemilas Chasodim, we're here for Olam Haba, we're not here for this world itself. We're Geirim in this world. Then Hashem says, I'll be Toshav. I'll permanently settle with you. I'll rest my Shechina among you. The Shechina will rest with you. I'll be together with you. But on the other hand, if we feel like we're Toshavim, we feel like we're permanently settled in this world. It's permanent. We're here. This is the Iker. This is the main purpose for our life. It's Olam Hazeh. Hashem says, if that's the case, then geirim. I'll treat you like a stranger. The Shechina won't rest among you. I'll be geirim. It's either geirim b'seishavim, one or the other. That's the relationship that we have together with Hashem. The haaretz loisi machalitz misos. The land can't be sold permanently. Again, it shows that Hashem is the owner of all the land and not us. The story with Reb Chaim Volozhin I said over last year, but it's a nice story. And say it over again. There was in times of Reb Chaim Volozhin, there were two people who had a big machloikis about a piece of land, a certain field. Each one tied that the land belongs to him. And neither one was willing to compromise, make up shura. Each one said the land was his. And the machloikis got out of hand. People started to take sides. It became a public machloikis.
Ukraine.
Became
Ukraine.
Ukraine, okay. Public machloikis. So instead of going before Bezdin, the two parties involved went before the Goyish court, went before the Goyish judge. The judge heard both sides of the story, and he couldn't decide who was right. They both had legitimate claims on the field, and the judge said, I can't decide. He told them, however, you're Jewish. In Volozhin, there's a big There's a smart man, Reb Chaim Volozhin, the rabbi of Volozhin. Go to your rabbi of Volozhin and let him settle the case. I can't settle the case for you. Okay. They had no choice. They came to Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin heard both sides of the story, and they both had legitimate tainus. So first, Reb Chaim Volozhin's side tried to have him compromise. He spoke to each side to compromise or make up shorah, one will buy the other one out, or work something out. And each one said, "B'shumay finat, I'm not budging. It's mine, I want what's mine, what's right, and I'm not compromising. Akil zeh, one iota, I'm not compromising at all." And the machlokes boiled, bubbled over, and the whole city was involved in this machlokes. Chaim Volozhin says to them, "Fine, if that's the case, tomorrow morning I want to go out and see the field. I want to go to the field, I want to see the field that you're arguing about." So they said to him, "My nafkamina, what's the difference? Our tainus, it makes no difference what the field looks like." He says, "Afal pikein, I want to go see the field." The kitzah, the next morning, word got around that Chaim Volozhin was going out to see the field, and everybody came to see the excitement. What the psak's going to be, what's going to happen when Chaim Volozhin goes out to the field. Reb Chaim Volozhin and the two Bali Dinim walk out to the field, and crowds of people follow him. Comes to the field, everybody stands back. Chaim Volozhin walks around the field. He measures the length, and he measures the width, and he walks diagonally, and he walks all around the field, around, looking, and taking in everything that he sees. It goes on for quite a while. Finally, he walks to the middle of the field, and he lies down on the field. He lies down on the ground, puts his head against the ground, and he stays there for a minute or two. Picks himself up, and he walks back, and everyone is humming, and what's happening? Chaim Volozhin, what did he do, lying down on the ground? The kitzah, they go back to the city, and he calls them into Bezdin. And he says to them, "Everybody wants to know what happened on the field. What I did, I'll tell you what happened. You both have good tainus. You have legitimate tainus, and you have legitimate tainus on the field. The best dates will be to make up shorah. I offered you to make up shorah, you both refused. You both want what's right, and each one of you insists the field is his. I decided that if you can't decide who it belongs to, and I can't decide, then let's see what the field has to say. I'll go out to the field and see what the field has to say. Well, ask the field who it belongs to." So I went to the field. I started walking this way and that way. I didn't have any clue, any hint. The field wasn't giving me any answers whom it belongs to. Finally decided, I'm going to lie down on the ground and listen to what it has to say. So I lie down against the ground, and I was waiting to hear what the field had to say. And the field said to me, "They're arguing whom I belong to. If I belong to Reuven, I belong to Shimon." The field told me they both have it wrong. I don't belong to any of them. But l'acha me'ev esushana, after 120 years, they're both going to belong to me. They'll both be buried in the ground after 120 years. They're both going to belong to me after 120 years. That was what Reb Chaim Volozhin said. Once he said that, they got the message that everything in this world is not here forever, and they're better off making up shara and accepting what Reb Chaim Volozhin had to say. The learn is not so permanently. Besides halachas of Yovel, a person has to realize he's not in this world permanently. The land's not his permanently. And lach mei bes mishana, a person has to give a din b'cheshbon for what happened in this world. V'chiyomach achicha umata yado imach v'chazak tavoy. Perk chafei pasuk hameches. If your brother becomes an oni, you should stretch out your hand, help him, be mechazik him. The medrash says, "Hainu hodo hu d'ksiv." That's what it says in the pasuk. Ashrei maskil aldol v'yemro yimalteu Hashem. Praise is one whose maskil uses a seichel to dull a poor person. On a day of roh, Hashem saves him. The Gemara tells us that a person's expenses, his parnasa, are set on Rosh Hashanah. How much a person earns for the whole year is kotzuv me Rosh Hashanah v'ad Rosh Hashanah. Every person has certain loss of money, certain hezek that occurs during the year. It's all decided Rosh Hashanah, how much of a loss or hezek a person has during the year. Ashrei maskil adol, praises the person who gives away his money to an oni. So when the din v'cheshbon comes at the end of the year, he's supposed to lose a certain amount of money over the year. The money that he gave to tzedakah goes to that cheshbon. Instead of paying the money for a kenas, or paying the money for a tzara, if he gives the money for an oni, ashrei maskil adol, he used the seichel, he gave it to a poor person, b'yom ra, on a day of ra, yimalteu Hashem, Hashem saves him, He doesn't have to have an additional loss or an additional hezek, because he already gave away the money for tzedakah. The Gemara brings down the ma'aseh with the nephews of Rabbi Gamliel, that he had a dream. They had a dream they're going to lose a certain amount of money, and he, they made a cheshbon, they were short of giving that amount of money to tzedakah. Since they hadn't given that amount of money to tzedakah, they had to lose it a different way. But a person who gives his money to tzedakah, b'yem ro yimatei Hashem. They say over a ma'aseh, the Balatanya went around collecting for Pidyon Shvuyim. He came to a certain town to collect, and they told him, there's an usher in this town, worth millions, but he's a miser, doesn't give a penny to tzedakah. They said, it's not quite true, he'll give you one penny, he'll give you one copper coin. Anybody who comes to ask him for tzedakah, he gives one copper coin. No matter who comes, no matter what the cause is, even though he has millions and millions, he gives only one rusty old copper coin. Balatanya said, fine, let's go to him. So he went together with two of the community leaders, two of the Tuvei Hayer, they went together to Mali's house. The Balatanya told them, before they go in, no questions. Whatever you see, whatever I do, don't ask any questions. And they go into the house. And the miser welcomes them in, he listens to the whole appeal, Pidyon Shvuyim for Yisoyim, for Amonos, and he says, oh, it's terrible, let me help you out. He goes into his back room, comes back with his velvet pouch, a sack. He opens it up, takes out one rusty copper coin, and he gives it to the Balatanya, and he says, here's my donation to your cause. Balatanya takes the copper coin, and he takes the usher's hand, and he says, thank you so much. Thank you for your generous donation. Hashem should bless you with all the brachas for donating to our cause, for the tzedakah that you gave. Thank you so much. And the two people that are with the Balatanya are staring at him. What happened? Bizyonis. Coming in, this man has millions and he gives a rusty copper coin. Embarrassing. How could the Balatanya treat him so nicely? Balatanya says to him again, thank you, and he starts to walk out the door. And before he goes out the door, he turns around one more time. Thank you again for your generous donation. Hashem should bench you. And he walks out the door. As soon as they're outside, they can't hold themselves back. Say to him, what happened? How could you treat him like that? He treated you like Zion. How could you go ahead and thank him and treat him with such respect? Balatanya says, no questions. They walk down the steps. Suddenly they hear the door of the house open up and the usher is standing. And he says, can he come back inside? They go back inside and the usher says to the Balatanya, tell me, how much money do you need for Pidyon Shvuyim? Balatanya says, to redeem people that were captured. 5,000 rubles. 5,000 rubles, the usher says. That's a large amount. 5,000. He says, you know what? I'll give you 1,000 rubles. And he goes, comes back with 1,000 rubles, and he gives the Balatanya 1,000 rubles. The two people that are with the Balatanya, their mouths are wide open. No one ever got more than a copper coin from him, and now he gave 1,000 rubles. Balatanya takes the usher's hand, and he thanks him, and he benches him. He writes him out a receipt, a shtar, a brachas. He signs his name, and he thanks him, benches him, and he's walking out the door. And again, before he walks out the door, he turns around again, noch brachas, he walks out the door. And they're standing outside, what did you do? How did you, no one ever did this before. They walk a little further, suddenly the door opens again, the usher says, can you come back inside again? They come back inside, and the usher says, I decided to give you the full amount. He goes in, he brings the other 4,000 rubles, and he gives him the full amount of 5,000 rubles, and Balatanya benches him, and thanks him, and writes him a receipt, and all brachas, and finally they leave. And finally they say, we know we're not supposed to ask any questions, but what happened? How did it work? What did you do? And the Balatanya said, every Yid has with him a Pintel Yid. Every Yid wants to do mitzvahs. Every Yid wants to give tzedakah. Nobody wants to be a kamsan. It's just that sometimes the Eitz Hara blinds a person, ties up a person, traps a person into being a kamsan, to being a miser, and he can't give tzedakah. This person, all he could manage to give was that one copper coin. But he never had a chance even to give that. Because as soon as he offered anybody a copper coin, everyone threw it back at him. Bizyonis, they wouldn't take it. But I took that copper coin. When I took that copper coin and I benched him, that was the first time in his life he experienced the feeling of giving tzedakah. The simcha of giving, the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. And once he experienced the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, it grew. And it grew. And that's why he called us back. He was able to give a little more the second time. And after he gave the second time, he felt the simcha of the mitzvah, what it feels like to give tzedakah, it grew even more until he was able to give the full amount. sometimes all a person needs is a little chizuk. A person needs a little thank you, a smile. A person needs a little chizuk. A little chizuk goes a long way. Sometimes a small word, a smile, doesn't mean anything to the one who's doing it. Doesn't take any kaychis, doesn't take any money, doesn't take any strength on his part. But a little word, a good word, a smile, goes a long way. And fakert, everybody knows themselves that when they receive a good word, they see somebody, give them a smile, it makes them feel better. Pass it on. We're speaking of Meya Sfira, Rakivus Tamidim, Leinogu Kavoid Zebizeh. Go ahead, treat somebody else with a little more kavod. Smile, chizik, everybody's in the same boat. Everybody has this yoinus, everybody has the challenges out in the world. It's rough. It's, and this yoinus we have today are very difficult. But a little chizik goes a long way, a smile goes a long way, a good word, it all goes a long way. Let's be mechazik each other, be mechazik each other, be zaycha, Kosh Baruch Hu be mechazik us, the same way we treat others, Kosh Baruch Hu treats us. Somebody once came to this Rebbe, and he asked him, what's a skula for Yiras Hashem? So the Rebbe told him, for Yiras Hashem, I don't have a skula. But for Avas Hashem, I have a skula. So the Chosid said, okay, for Avas Hashem, I'll take the skula also. What's a skula for Avas Hashem? Yes. And the Rebbe told him, no, Avas Yisrael, to love another Yid. You love another Yid. The person's created in the image of Hashem. You love another Yid. It's a skula to come to love Hashem. Show Avas Yisrael, a smile. Doesn't have to be much. A little bit, it goes a long way. And the same way we mechazik others, Kosh Baruch Hu mechazik us, Ushtaka v'zeicha, to Kosh Baruch Hu send us Yeshuas, and fool us, whatever a person needs, v'zeicha to continue to learn together and to see Mashiach, so can't even hear you, Amen. Amen. Amen.